Okay, Alton Hardy.
Thank
He got a great handshake, man.
Appreciate that. All right. Never mind. All right, let me put this mic on. Sure. Move around. Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I know most of you, some of y'all look like y'all getting younger. I don't know if the coffee y'all drinking from Starbucks or whatever it is, y'all sure look like you've gotten younger here. So, but anyways, God's blessings to you. It is so good to be here this morning. To be here at Briarwood. Briarwood for me and my wife is where it all started. 11 years ago, 2012, I relocated back to the South after being gone for almost 35 years. I was born in Selma, Sardis. I went to Louisville, then to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where I became a part of the Christian Reform. I knew, Kevin DeYoung. He was in the RCA, and by God's providence, now we're both in the PCA. So we give glory and honor to God and how he's navigated both of us into the great PCA. Pastor Rita and I were really good friends. Good friends, him and I, we met often. We have similar passions for preaching, standing on the word. When most people want to go left, I would say that I stand more on the, I stand on the right, and I lose a lot of friends because I do. And I think sometimes because of the color of this pigmentation, people get me confused. They think I might have a lot of, I'm G-O-D, gospel all day, every day. And so that's where I am. So my lovely wife here, 27 years. We have 5 children, 2 grandchildren, Sandra Hardy. And so raise your hand. And so, there would be no Urban Hope Community Church. There would be no Alton Hardy if it wasn't for her, her faithfulness, her prayers, and everything else. You know, I talk a lot, and one of the things the Lord has been doing these 11 years, and I can just talk about a lot of different stuff. And some of you know me. Some of you know about the work. Some of you, this probably be your first time. And so what's been happening over the last, should I say, 3 or 4 years, it's been an uptick in Urban Hope Community Church. It was Briarwood that really was the architect to get me here. And I always tell people that. And so before I forget, for the first book to come out, it's kind of my testimony, my biography. I talked to Debbie, so it should be here in the Briarwood bookstore. If you want to get it, it just came out this week. It's called Longest Away. Briarwood does show up in the book. Harry Reader shows up in the book. And it will be a story. You get to hear kind of what's happening and how God has brought me to this place and where I'm at now as a PCA teaching elder. And I will promise you, you're going to weep a lot. You're going to cry a lot. But it will become very clear to you all as you read this book that God makes no mistakes. There are no accidents in this big kingdom of God. And so me being in the PCA was not of my own doing. It was the work of God that he set in motion before I was formed in my mother's womb. So I give glory to God. And so you'll see that in the book, how God wanted to be very clear and evident. I want you in the PCA. For what reason? And this is what you're going to hear. For what purpose? Briarwood called me here to plant a church in one of the poorest cities, municipalities in this region, Fairfield. A grocery store, a police. Thank God for my friend, Ed Messer. He finally put an ambulance service there for a few years. You see how big I am? We didn't have an ambulance service. I always tell people, if I had a heart attack, my wife, you can see, she's not going to be able to pick me up. So how am I going to get the UAB? Thank God E. Mason said, hey man, we'll put an ambulance service there, knowing that the city doesn't have the resources to pay for police officers and all of the above. And so I'm going to show a couple of videos for those of you online watching me on Zoom. You may not be able to see the video, but you may, hopefully you'll be able to hear. And the reason why these videos are important, because they're going to give you a snapshot, pretty much. One is done by the M&A, Mission North America, our denomination, mission affiliation. And so, and then there will be another one, which I will show, which will kind of give you a more of a bullseye, what's happening with me, the church, and where I hope to pray this thing will go, and how you as Briarwood, who actually, you started in the beginning, and now you get to play a part on the back end, because what God's doing a great work. And so I want to show this first video about M&A came out. He said, man, we're hearing about what's happening with this church that started in Fairfield some 11 years ago. There's now, you have deacons, you have elders, you're growing like wildfire. People are getting married in a poor community, and it's growing with millennials and Gen Zs. It's multicultural, it's white and black, it's in Fairfield, and by the way, it's Presbyterian. And it's in Fairfield. You tell me, how has that happened? And you're organized and you're growing, the building is paid for, and there's all kinds of other things happening alongside of this. Who and what is happening? So M&A came and said, hey, we want to do a story on this. And they did. And so this is what you're about to see. And this was done less than about 6 months ago. So here it is. So hopefully everything will work. I asked my man, I said, I'm Brazil. I said, hey, I'm on Briarwood guest internet. But for those of you who know the staff internet, I used to have it, but I got a new iPad that kicked me off. So, but see, let's see how it goes here. So this is about 8 minutes here. So let's watch.
I think about even the genesis of how the work in Fairfield even came to be. Urban Hope years ago, sitting around the room with a group of pastors praying and asking the Lord, where would we have a new church started? Where the brothers stood up and said, we can't go over here, which is where I thought we should go. We need to go to Fairfield. Well, why Fairfield? Said, well, look at the ways that God is involved. And look at all the people that God has saved and yet to save in that community. And we're seeing that bear fruit in tremendous ways, especially here.
The Pope is a church plant, PCA, where we're endeavoring to bring the purity of the gospel, what it is, to the poor of the poor, urban poor communities, to bring a gospel movement. A social justice gospel, not a world gospel, but a gospel of Christ that transformed men and women, boys and girls, into who they are truly been called to be.
Our church building is right in the heart of the downtown area of the community, right across the street from City Hall. But this community is one that's broken. There's lots of poverty, there's lots of crime, violence. And so there's lots of brokenness. And really much of the brokenness stems from a disconnect with people from their creator, first and foremost, but then it fleshes itself out in brokenness in the family. And so that's one of the major things that we see if you go around and look through our communities. We see lots of abandoned houses, lack of business and commerce, just an overall deterioration in the infrastructure of the community. And the number one cause is the brokenness in the family. Fatherlessness is prevalent in this community. I was at a meeting with children. It was actually one of the initiatives that we have here at Urban Hope is called You Hope Success, where we go into the school system during the summer with middle school age kids. And so I was meeting with these middle school age kids, talking to them, sharing some of my story. And I did ask them if anyone in the room had celebrated Father's Day with their father, and no one raised their hand. So that was a group of about 30 students. So that's just one of the major things in this community. It was a reality for my life personally. I was not raised by my father. My father was absent. And so I understand that on a personal level, and the outworkings and how that affects an individual and affects a family.
I made in my mind, as I was going to reflect this church, that we was going to have an undeniable focus on young men. I tried to get strong, biblical men who would love their wives and their children, therefore the community, therefore the church. It's hard to reach young men in these early communities. They bring a plethora of issues, like education, childlessness, lack of understanding, basic authority, whether it was a police, teacher, or pastor, and go over all of his homes. There's so much that comes out of that. And so, in my mind, in my heart, I asked the Lord, Lord, this is going to be a long haul. This is about generational work. I'm not going to jump off ship because it's not easy. And so, we just went after men from every direction, from every angle.
One of the major things that Urban Hope has done to reach the community is make and build relationships in some of the institutions that are already present here in the community, such as the school system. Pastor Alton, our planting pastor, he immediately on the ground when he got here went into the school system to build relationships with the administrators. They accept us because we come in serving. We come in saying, how can we serve you? How can we come alongside the needs that you have and meet those to the best of our ability by the grace of God? And when we come in serving, that opens the door to speak truth. That opens the door to build those solid foundational relationships that we need in order to have the freedom and the avenues to speak truth, to speak the word of God.
We have an intensive one-year program, a fellowship program here called Urban Hope Leadership Initiative, where we're looking to develop young African-American men to step into leadership. We bring in men from all over the country to be able to come and stay with us here. We've got a loft apartment that we're finishing construction on right now that's next door to our church building, and so we have capacity for about 8 men to be able to live up there at any given time. We put them through a one-year intensive program here where they're a part of everything we do and they're participating with our staff and our pastors and just learning firsthand about serving communities like Fairfield.
There's no way we can transform the urban community without really having a stick-to-itiveness making disciples of people. Teaching them. Not some things. All things that Jesus said he's commanded us to teach. So I could skip over family. I could skip over sexual ethics. You need preachers who are committed to the word of God and discipleship to bring these truths of the word of God to these communities where people are not even aware that marriage is better than shacking up. Marriage is better than just having multiple children by multiple people that have no understanding of how all of that works out to betterment of your community.
I actually lost my brother. My brother was a member here at this church. He and his family were married, and I lost him due to violence in this community. So I've experienced personal loss. There's just lots of pain and suffering and death. Honestly, that's just kind of always constantly hovering around. And so we really truly have the urgent disposition to share the gospel, to, you know, meet more than just the material and physical needs, but, you know, really get to the heart of the matter, which is spiritual needs.
Right. Wow, that's right.
Yeah, that one you guys will see that. I'm gonna show another video, but I wanna set this one up. So you just got a snapshot on something that started 11 years ago, August 2012. And gotta hold back tears because those of you who've been following me know that this journey has not been easy. I don't wanna come here. I have tried to quit this journey many times. For lots of reasons. You can imagine preaching, as you heard from the video, that kind of a gospel in a community like Fairfield or Bessemer, these hard line, where lots of resources are being dumped, mostly to felt needs. And it's like everyone's just going to put blinders on their eyes and pretend like the family is not the issue. So you can imagine coming in at 6'4", 300 pounds, preaching on marriage and family. You wouldn't get a lot of hand claps. Trust me, the powers that be are real. It's not imagination. Satan, he owns these communities. He knows that, you know, as long as no one is going to address sin and sexual ethics, I have these communities and I have every gangbanger there is. And we just continue to dump money and resources, expecting by some what we call an urban hope osmosis that somehow people just snap out of it. No, they're not going to snap out of it. You need pastors, you need preachers, you need churches on the ground that are willing to stand and say, hey, the command of Jesus, you have five husbands, that's sin. You have 25 boyfriends. I don't find nowhere in the scripture my great Lord just claps his hands. I just can't say it. And so I don't have to keep studying why violence is prevalent in these communities. Stats all tell you. You get involved with prison ministry. It's not an accident that 85-90% of young men in prison come from these types of homes. I've done enough funerals. I'm an urban practitioner. This is what I do. And without you get into the family and someone speaking truth into that and getting those marriages back, we will never see this problem go away. And y'all know what I'm saying is true because it's starting to creep over on this side of the mountain. The marriage institution is just being shined away. That's all by design. Satan, he doesn't want to bring glory to God. He hates God. He hates us. Marriage brings glory to God. He want to confuse it. Don't know if it'll be a male or female. What you think is bad over here, come to the hood. Come to these schools. We got a guy in our district running that says he's not a woman. He's not a man. So this stuff is creeping on the ground. So Urban Hope is standing in the middle of that. So we're at the school, we're at the college, we got all these kids coming from Miles College saying they don't want to be called male nor female. Huh? Am I in New York City? California? Where Pastor Dr. Eric is from? I'm in Birmingham. I said, well, you're at Urban Oak Community Church and I see with my eyes what I think I see. And we have to wrestle with that at Urban Hope because they're at Miles College and they're being told they want to be called they and us. And one of the most difficult sermons I've ever given was one a year ago speaking to the Miles College. We have a campus ministry there and it was on male and female. And I said, man, I was shaking like done. I go, literally, I was like this the whole time. I said, Lord Jesus, if I ever needed you, I need you now. Because I didn't really know what to say. I didn't want to offend them. I didn't want to hurt them. I really wanted, and so what I did, I came in, I took the Bible. I said, I'm going to pretend like this Bible has never been written. So I set the Bible at the end of the back of the door. And I'm just going to say, ask a few questions. How do you explain me? Without the Bible, the kids were looking. I said, you can't use the Bible, can't quote a scripture. So we can just, how do you explain male, female, death, life? Here's what we found out. No one could without the Bible. And so therefore I ended up preaching and a lot of the kids really received it well because I just allowed the word of God to be preeminent in that situation. And so what's been happening? You just saw. So a lot of people say, Pastor Hardy, you're unique. That's why you gotta get the book. And there's something special happening here, that we haven't seen before. I said, yeah, I believe God wants a, what's happening in Fairfield. When I first came here and I told Dr. Reeder and Tom Cheely, I said, God said there was going to be a movement. And, I've been praying and asking God for a long time, brothers and sisters, to bring a gospel movement to the inner cities. 57, not getting any younger. I'm not a novice. My wife and I have been at this over 30 years. So, when I'm talking, I know when it comes to the inner city, I just know what I know and what God has taught me because it's my life personally. So, but I came here and I said, God, he was able to bring a movement. And specifically, he says he wants to do it in a way that will stun everyone. What do you mean, God? And he gave me a verse, Ephesians 3:10. 1 through 11 Ephesians. And I first sermon I ever preached at Broadway. You can go look it up and have them send it to you. And I preached a sermon on a Sunday night. Dr. Reeder and Frank Parker, they asked me to preach. It was the 50th anniversary of the bombing at 16th Street Baptist Church. And that sermon went like this, going from Dr. King's dream to the dream of Jesus. And I called it the manifold. The manifold meaning God was going to take it was Jews and Gentiles in the context of the text. We know the story of the Jews and Gentiles. Pastor spoke about it today. But for me personally, Lord said, I see your burden for the inner city. And I said, Lord, but if I go there, how would I survive? Because if I go there, the way I preach, the way you taught me about the gospel, I push more people away from the left because they want social justice. They want to blame white people. It's all this stuff that you see happening. I'm done with that. I'm gospel. But how would I survive? Who will be behind me? Who will come beside me? And it's almost like the Lord says, trust me. And that's how I got to the PCA. Huh? PCA on the front line? Urban work? Trust me, Elton. I see how I look law. I'm sovereign. You're not. I know where my people are. So here it comes, 2012. Birmingham, by the way, place where the world said, oh, can't that happen in Birmingham? The M&A guy was interviewed. He said, man, this is happening in Birmingham? Yeah, Birmingham. My Jesus is the real deal. I'm going to bring people around that you would have never thought that I would have. And so that work started in 2012. And so many are coming to me and say, Elton, we believe the Lord, Sandy Wilson, he interviewed me, you can find it on YouTube, Covenant. He also gave an endorsement of his book. He sent me a long email. He says, Elton, hurry up. We need churches like you all over the inner cities. We need you in Memphis. What are you waiting on? So Sandy, I can't go as fast as I can go. This is God sticking his time with this thing because he don't want it to be hijacked and messed up. He don't want it to become something that he didn't tell me what he wanted to be. And so people have been coming to me. Some of you have heard about me. You said, well, I don't know if I can trust this guy. And so what God has done, let me show you this video. You see it. His own website, Manifold Vision. Started out with a word, now it has become a full-fledged vision. And you see here, I'm gonna hit leadership. You see me, but some of you might know some of the people's names on this vision because these people lend their names and they're part of a team that's around me. Some of you know Phil Reddick. Some of y'all know Sam Torresi. He's kind of like the head guy. Sam was no slouch. Sam said, "We've been praying for a guy like you. We've invested." And he ran United Way. He said, "We've given millions of dollars away. We've never seen no impact. You know why? Because we skip over the family." That's spiritual. That's called discipleship. Someone has to come in and address this. You see Greg Mixon. You see Denton McClain. Denton over at Covenant. And notice all these people's names are mostly from the PCA. That's by providence of God. Steve Ankenbrandt, Chase Anderson, who's a member of our church. Gene Borgaz, who's an elder over at Oak Mountain. And the list goes on. Clay Wheeler. So Andy Coates, many of you. So God just brought a bunch of men and women around me, about training. And there are others who are joining the team. Said, we walk behind you for what purpose? And so I want to get into that. So I want to show you a video. So I'm going to go back to the beginning. I got to find the video. Here we go. And then I'll answer some questions and we'll go from there. Where this thing is all headed. I would say that I'm somewhat in transition, for the good. Not even every hope. But you're seeing and hearing in this thing. So this is on website and what's happening. And so let me show you this video that we've done also. So if we take this on. Here you go.
Greenville is historic, right? There's a lot of history here. It's a forgotten city.
Greenville is a microcosm of a lot of what you see in our urban inner cities across America. They are a lack of men, lack of fathers, loving their wives, raising their children.
It's a place where most people would not want to live.
It's a community that is just stuck in a mindset that there's no hope.
That's what I see, the sense of survival, the sense of I can't be who God in essence called me to be, because all I see is hurt. All I see is pain. All I see is abuse.
I remember my freshman year being in the dorm and like coming back home and like hearing gunshots in my dorm and just this constant cycle of fatherlessness and single mothers. And even coming from a single mother myself, I never seen it in a sense of this much poverty. I think it's the area that is not defined as like prospering or, you know, just even like safe.
There's a lot of loss here in Fairfield. A lot of brokenness, you know, a lot of kind of issues and deal with that stem from the home and just, you know, community where it's upper 90% of people growing up without their father in particular.
I'm talking about people. I read the stats. I go to the prisons. All of the numbers point to a reality. When kids grow up in families without a father in their lives, in their homes, they end up in prison. They end up in graves. They end up in gangs. Why? I'm not God. I don't know. I just think it comes back to a greater reality that our deepest brokenness is us being separated from our true father in heaven, which is not himself. That's part of my life story, being born in outside of Selma. Poor rural kid. Mother had 12 kids by my dad. Poverty, just hopelessness. I tell people my first 30-some years, it was just a lot of tears, a lot of pain. But I would say God really birthed urban hope, the vision there. Urban hope, in a sense, in a nutshell, is a church birthed by God to come into the inner city to bring gospel, tangible hope to those people who live and reside in those types of places. That's the heart of urban hope.
Well, you know what happened in 2020. We said, we're going to know what I'm doing now. How are we going to raise money to renovate it and all of that? And I will tell y'all, if you ever doubted whether God is real or not, this would encourage me to say, COVID hit, the world shut down. The building, and I can remember in one time I was praying, the Lord, what do we do with this building? The world is coming to an end. I don't need a building at this point. Might not even have church, and nobody will be in church. And I can hear God almost say, how often you doubt me? How many times I tell him who I am? And I feel like God said, stand back, watch what I do.
describe Urban Hope as a genuine family-oriented, Christian-based, family-based. It's more reaching out and having genuine conversations and genuine relationships, just getting to know your fellow neighbor and loving your neighbor.
And so I came here, and Urban Hope just did a really good job of, like, just being intentional through the campus ministry, caring, discipling us, meeting with us. Just seeing through that, I just really began to just kind of, like, understand who Jesus was and what that meant for my life and what he did for us. Urban Hope does a really good job of, like, being mission-oriented.
As a kid who's growing up and is, like, not really understanding what you're talking about. Yeah.
God grew up from 20 to 30. The next crowd I know, we're here to 90, 80, 100, white, black. People leading me to the crime. And next thing I know, church started coming in. God called me up. The hair helped up the place. Because the church, who am I making out to? The Urban Hope community church. $100,000. Never had anyone give me $100,000 like that. And from that time in 2020, God started having people sit in lots of chats. And so there was a momentum of God's power of something called a metaphor. As you can see, Urban Hope City Hall, they see this brand new building. He said, this church is leading the charge towards Fairfield renovation. I didn't have it in place. God did.
If we want to get serious about changing communities, we got to get in the church planning business. Because we need churches doing this work, and they aren't. They're just not. They're not built to. They don't have the DNA to. They don't have the leadership to. They don't have the heart or mind to. So we got to plant churches. That's the only way we're going to be able to truly change communities.
Urban Hope, by being a community church, you don't turn nobody down. Everybody needs to know about Jesus Christ. Well, hope. I am the right person. I wouldn't be in a community where I grew up in that I said I probably would never go back to because there's so much heartache and pain. But if you don't go back to those places, how would anyone ever know the gospel?
What is God doing there? He's building dignity. He's building hope back in God. The people who feel like they're poor, they have a color skin, that they somehow they feel like God don't like them. They gotta go out of here for the community. Because nobody invests in Fairfield. I wanted to put a mural on our Urban Hope Development Building. See the color. I wanted that to be there intentional. So I wanted people to see. What God was going to do, he was going to do a metaphor on how to do that. He was going to bring them unlikely community. Men and women that I would have never saw when I was a little kid would have never loved me. They didn't like me because. And God has controlled all of that. So that's the Revelation 21. The new city, the whole coming down, made up, all the people. God knows the history of Fairfield. He knows the history of Fleming. But God is doing something that he's been waiting for a long time. He's unifying the city through the church, through the people. That's the man for that.
So, thank you. So that's the manifold. It involves church planting. It involves development in Fairfield. This team that God has put around, and there are you in this room. So one of the things that has happened in this urban thing is that, we tell people all the time, I don't need you guys coming and paint. And God has gifted you with abilities and skills, but God in his grace, his vision that he told me is I'm going to bring people and there's going to be a groundswell. It's going to be a sweep. Steve Angerbrand, he's in housing development. I don't know anything about housing. He said, I'll let me handle that. We're going to buy up houses. We're going to renovate and we're putting married families in. And so Fairfield's being redeveloped from within through the church, through the power of the preaching of the gospel. We're telling those young college kids, and guys, you can get married. God loves marriage. This is how we rebuild our community. Well, we don't have a grocery store. We don't have anything. And so you know what people are asking? They say, well, who are you? Where is all this money coming from? And here's what I love to say from God's people. But I thought they didn't like us. That's what you've been told. The great deceiver has been lying. There's always the people over the mountain hate stuff. Where are you finding that? It hasn't been my experience. God told me, kid himself, I'm going to bring in your hour in Birmingham first to show people that I'm Lord and I'm King. And I'm going to bring healing, reconciliation. And so I'm not in the grocery business. So God brought a guy. He has 45 years of experience. His name is James Harris. He said, I've been wanting to plant grocery stores in these food deserts. Dick McClain, that's his family's business. That's the McClain family that owned the Houston Astros. He says, I've been looking for a church to get in the movement. And who set that up? A kid from Selma? Yahweh. I'm Cheely. I could see him now smiling now. He said, man, I remember this off. He says, God's going to do something. And I told him it is. I said, I don't know if Birmingham was ready for this. This is pretty big. And God just told me, so you're on the front line. Preach marriage and family and I'll back it up. Don't worry what they will say. You just preach it. Watch what I do. You know who loves us? The poor. Know who stands against us? Oh, they're gatekeepers. Because there's money in the game. So they don't want you talking about marriage and family. Noticing all the videos, we keep saying the same thing. Marriage, family. We are on the ground. We live in Fairfield. We know. When we go among the poor kids, we never hear them talk about police brutality. You know what they bring up? Pastor, where's my dad? But what you hear, but that's not what we hear on the ground. But when you get involved and you see it, so it's always been. The greatest pain in my life was fatherlessness. You'll hear that and see that in the book. It was the greatest star. Growing up poor without a dad. Trying to figure out what it means to be a man. You let that one sink in. And bring tears to you every time. But that's what's happening in Urban Hope. So Sam Torisi and others say, hey, we need to make Fairfield stronger. There are social needs there. Most definitely. They're there. We're going to bring these young black guys from all over the country, from campus outreach, from all college ministries, RUF. We're recruiting them. How can you pray for us? Pray for us. I got to recruit Gen Zs. If you know anything about Gen Zs, they're not the most decisive children in the world. We're doing 21 to 28. They had to be over 21. They had to be Christians. We got to fight with their moms. So you could get involved. go to the website. There's a UHRI website. We need business owners to do internships. This will be a movement. How do you play a role? You just do the intern. You work with me as we work with these young men, as we try to spur them on to be young men. All the stats are saying they're not growing up. Our country is falling apart. And it's almost like people can't see it. Video games. How are you going to get these guys to even want to get married? We got the porn epidemic. They don't want to get married. They won't leave mom. And I'm fighting grandma and mom. You come in and say, Pastor, I got an internship for him. It's just bait. Not saying you got to keep him forever. Maybe he might try to be a really good worker. Say, well, then I keep him. And then we bring in more. Every 10 months, we're bringing in 8 guys. That's what those laws will be. They are done with those laws. They are finished. First of the year, there will be guys in there. You can pray for me. Because Noah Despina, who used to work here, is recruiting along with me and everyone else, young men. If you may know some young black men, send them to the website. We'll fill out and recruit them. You need to go meet and spend a year with Pastor Hardy. So we can get at the fatherless wound that's in your heart, brother. I know it's there. I had it too. I know about the suicide thoughts. Trust me. I can write a book on that as well. Come. Grocery store. You know what that grocery store, when we had first announced it, all the black people in the community, Sandra can attest to this, they didn't like us very much. Oh, really, in our church? And we announced the grocery store. Lady next door to us, she didn't like white, she didn't like anybody, she didn't like us. When we announced the grocery store, she said, Pastor, I knew something was different about you. But I couldn't figure it out. And she wept, cried like a baby on my shoulder. And here's what she says. I'm not going to cry on you, but I want you to understand, this is bigger than Pastor Carter. Please hear my heart. That's what I told Pastor Reader. He saw it. This is bigger than Pastor. And this older 60-some, 70-year-old African-American lady, this is what she said. This, you hear this, what a lot of the older blacks are saying. They left us. Who do you think the day is that she's referring to? So they left us, Pastor Hardy. And at the grocery store, and I keep telling people, someone said, you're a pastor, what are you in the grocery store business? That wasn't my plan. But God gave me Manifold. And he told me, he said, I'm going to bring through this ministry, commerce, housing, education. He said, if Jim Crow or whatever could do this and have a generational impact, God said, watch what I do through the power of the church together. And so I tell people, that grocery store, they ask me, well, where is the money coming from? It says from God's people. But why would they want to give it? It's time. It's Manifold time. And that's what I am here. And that's what God put in my heart. So I'm preparing myself to hand off this church to a young man in our church you saw in the video. You can pray for him. His name is Deion Watts. And I'm already making my footprints in East Lake, Woodlawn, to put an Urban Hope there. And by God's grace, I go to Woodlawn. I mean, I go to Bessemer, where there's highest crime rate in the country. I go to Titusville, we'll put Urban Hope. Here's the beauty of it. Who saw this coming? All done in the PCA. That's what's really getting folks like. One guy asked me, he said, why PCA? God likes to laugh. I end with that.
And the book is endorsed by Dan Cathy.
Yeah, Dan Cathy. He's on board. Dan Cathy called up a friend of mine. He said, I mean, this really happened to this guy? He really didn't quite believe it. So the guy passed a friend of mine and said, oh yeah. And Dan Cathy, Herbie at Lifeline, Sandy Wilson, bunch of names, Carl Ellis, and it's a tearjerker for sure, but it will make sense, everything I just shared with you. And so how do you get involved? Reach out to Sam Torrey. Y'all know him. Say, Sam, this is a real deal? Sam will tell you it is, because we got to raise a lot of money. But it's good ground. It's all about church planting. And then these other institutions that we're going to build up come in. But at the heart of it is the church movement, the groundswell. And that's what God is doing in Fairfield. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Long way.
And it's basically telling the story how God takes the long way mm-hmm. in order to get his purposes.
You can get it on Amazon, Small Stories Studios, and I hope hopefully soon in the bookstore.
Tell Debbie, go in there and say, hey, get this book in there. We want to help support Briarwood Bookstore. I love Amazon, but do Briarwood.
Well, that was a great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who are we to say anything in light of Sandy Wilson and Dan Kathy's story? But I will say that Cindy and I started reading that last night, and we got 45 or 50 pages in, which tells you how exciting my Saturday night starts taking off my wife on a date, you know, read it. But it is a very captivating first 50 pages, and certainly eye-opening. I don't think any of us, I'm guessing, have experienced anything like the first 50 pages.
I'm glad you said this. One of the reasons why you should write a book about your life, and I didn't. Greg Nixon came to me a year ago. He said, "The Lord says it's time to tell your story." And one of the reasons why we thought time to tell the story, because as I came into Birmingham, been here 11 years, you know, people hear me from different angles, so they don't. So he's around whites. He's preaching gospel reconciliation in Fairfield. He's got a multicultural church. He's got whites on the staff. Who is this guy? What's his story? He's loving the poor. And he's not about the money. And he lives in Fairfield. I live in my house because of 150 grand. I told somebody, 150, that's all it is. That's probably too much. My parents grew up in less than that. And Greg says, And standing with second is, for such a time as this, so people like you would read this, okay, I now understand. This is not of Alton. This is only God. This means only God could have gotten him from where he was to where he is now in the PCA. When you see that PCA story, I promise you, you're gonna want to have breakfast. You're gonna say, man, that's a story of God. Only Jesus could have written that. It's like asking Joseph, how'd you get next to Pharaoh? Mm-hmm. Mike in his hand. What do you think Joseph gonna say? Bruh. Last thing I remember, I was being kicked into a ditch. And the rest is history. That's my story. So, thank you for bringing it up.
How long is the grocery store been
open? We just finished the loss, and so the plant, Bell Window, Max's Construction, is to start on that. And that should be done by April or March of next year. So, and you can invest in that. So that's why I want you to go to the website, because that's investors type stuff. It's not the kind of investment you get, but it's an internal investment. It's a different kind. So reach out to Sam, anyone on that board, say, hey, I want to hear more. I'll sit down with you. We can do a meeting at your house because we got to raise a lot of money. But we know God is providing and he's going to show up. And so, I'm glad you asked that question. So those of you who say, hey, I want something that's impacting the community. So reach out to Sam. I mean, he's retired from CEO of Cadence Bank now, so he's got a lot more time on his hand. So he'd be willing to meet with y'all. So,
thank you again. Also. Well, let's finish up with prayer. Lord, what an amazing story of your incredible grace, of your incredible love for Alton and for Sandra and for the community of Fairfield. Lord, thank you that you have opened the eyes of the blind. Lord, boy, you've opened my eyes today. Lord, we pray that you would work mightily in our midst and mightily in our hearts and mightily in Fairfield. And, Lord, we look forward to, being involved in a way that these Gen Zs in Fairfield, Alabama can grow up
be discipled and go all over the United States and cities. You would change lives through us, through them. Jesus, in your great name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.